Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East. The very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.
Gamar Joba Patronavi, and welcome to the Grand Embassy. As you may have noticed, a few changes were made to the Patreon feed. You are now supporting not one, but two podcasts, The History of Sakartvelo Georgia and Tsar Power. I honestly didn't want to make separate Patreons, or make those who were already paying for content have to pay again, so now you get two bonus episodes a month. This month, we're going to have a much shorter episode than usual as we look at the life of another saint. Okay, I lied. This time it's actually nine saints. We're going to talk about the nine martyred children of Kola. Content warning, this contains violence against children, including child murder, so if you don't want to hear about that, no judgment. I was supposed to record a Georgian book review for this month, but the person I was supposed to record with hasn't finished reading yet due to personal issues, so we pushed it back a month, hence the shorter episode. This is a bit of a sad tale, but I hope you are able to enjoy it just the same. I took liberties with the story, as it was a bit too short for my liking, and I wanted to extend it much more to give more life to the characters. Well, let's get started. This occurs in the modern Turkish town of Gole, in Georgian, Kola, in a region historically known as the district of Dao in the former kingdom of Georgia. In the 6th century, within the southern valleys of Georgia, on the banks of the Mitkvari River, there was a small, sleepy town of Kola. This town, like some of the other towns within Georgia, was home to those of the Armazi faith and Christians. However, the Christians were the minority in the situation, as the Caucasus Mountains are difficult to navigate and thus inaccessible to most Christianizing forces. Off in the field, the children were frolicking and playing, as they usually do. Religion didn't come up as a major question to them, because it's not something they talked about often. They usually focus on their play. They would play the game of Lelo Burti, a Georgian game similar to rugby, and would enjoy their time out in the sun with their friends. One day, the church bells rang, and the Christian kids ended the game early. They told their Armazi friends that they were going to Vespers and had to go pray to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The nine remaining Armazi children followed these Christian kids to the church, but were turned away by their friends' parents, saying that since they were followers of Armazi, they were not fit to enter the hallowed grounds. They became upset and ran off back to the field. One of these children, named Guram, spoke up to his friends. "If they will not let us come today, let us try again tomorrow. We must enter the grounds and meet with our friends." The rest murmured in agreement, and they made their plans. The following day, the Christian children ended their playtime to return to church, and they were once again pursued. Seeing that their friends were coming after them, the Christian children ran to the church, knowing that their friends couldn't enter. One of the boys, Adarnase, ran faster than the rest and managed to just miss his friend slip through the doors and had the door shut in his face. He grew beet red and looked at his friends. Bakar called out that they could always continue trying. Barkar had tried to sneak into the church several times while the boys were distracted. Vahe tried climbing through a window and was caught by the priest, and Bardzim feigned an injury but was found by his mother before the Christians left the church. The Urmazi children had had enough of working separately and decided to try once more, this time working together. They forced their way into the church, using their superior numbers to barge into the door as their friends ran in. The Christian boys started crying and beseeching the Lord to forgive them for letting in pagans. The adult Christians came upon the Urmazi children and surrounded them. They told the children that if they wanted to enter the church whenever they wanted, they must believe in Jesus and be baptized in his name and partake of his sacrament to be considered a Christian. What is baptism? And what is the sacrament? Dahi said. Please tell me, and if it lets me enter the church, I am willing to learn. The boys shouted in agreement, with a hail of shh and side eyes coming from the clergy and members within. They blushed in embarrassment, but the excitement could be felt coming from their bodies. The church community banded together and taught the 9 boys the Christian ways. They called for a highly respected priest to come to the church to baptize the boys when they were ready. He agreed and sat down with the boys and let them know what they were getting themselves into. This is a life of suffering for yourself and for Christ. You must bear the weight of your sins and not worry about those of others. Give love and promote peace, my young children. But know that once you are baptized, those pagans of the community might grow to hate you and the rest of us. But believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for he suffered on the cross to save us from our sins. If you are ever in that situation, never renounce your faith, and know that your souls will be saved by the Lord. The boys nodded in agreement, and in the cover of the night, they snuck to the waters of the Mitkvari River. It was the coldest night of the winter, and chunks of ice flowed downstream.
Hello and bonjour. My name is Josh Zucker, and I want to take you on a journey through some of the most exciting events of the late Middle Ages. Valois Burgundy was one of the medieval world's greatest what-ifs. Its dukes inherited, conquered, and politicked their way into forging a state between the German Empire and the Kingdom of France that rivaled them both. From the Hundred Years' War to the Holy Roman Empire, from urban workers to Joan of Arc, and from gallant knights to gunpowder weapons, the Grand Dukes of the West had a part to play in almost all of Western Europe's biggest developments in the 14th and 15th centuries. If you want to learn more about the glamorous rise and dramatic fall of the Dukes of Burgundy, please join me for Grand Dukes of the West, A History of Valois Burgundy.
Hello, everybody. This is Trevor Cully, host of the History of Persia podcast. From about 550 to 330 BC, most of the Middle East was ruled by the Achaemenid Persians. The Achaemenids pioneered the concept of a truly multinational empire, which incorporated people from as far away as India and Greece for over 200 years. The story of Persia discusses the fall of ancient civilizations, the origins of endurance racing, 300 Spartans, the March of the 10,000, and at least one evil priest who replaced and impersonated the king, all before falling with the dramatic close at Alexander the Great's conquests. If that story, and the story of the cultures that surround it, sound interesting to you, check out The History of Persia at historyofpersiapodcast.com, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Nevertheless, this had to be done in secret. If they were found out by the rest of the town, they would all be killed. The priests followed the children into the freezing cold water, their teeth chattering. They were all dunked one by one into the body of water, their sins washing off of them as they emerged from under the depths. Their chattering stopped once the final child emerged. Steam came out of the river, and the water flowed with a golden hue as it became warm like a bath. The children could hear heavenly singing and looked upwards. They saw angels ascending from heaven, which clothed them in white robes, which did not wet. This was invisible to everyone else, but these nine children knew what was there. They exited the river, now as faithful Christians. Things were not as cheerful as they thought it would be. The children didn't want to return home, and they stayed with their fellow Christians. Time passed, and their parents became enraged when the news had spread throughout Kola that these nine children had been baptized. They marched up to the church and demanded that their children return. The children listened to their parents, and intense cries could be heard emanating from their homes as their parents beat them black and blue. To rebel against these pagan abuses, the nine children agreed to go without eating for a whole week. They told their parents, "We are Christians, and it is not fit for us to partake of the food and drink which is offered up to the idols." The children felt as if they were sustained by the Holy Spirit, and unwaveringly held their fast. Days turned to weeks, and the parents became even more outraged. Their children weren't eating or renouncing Christ. They offered all sorts of goods and colorful trinkets to get them to at least eat, but these children refused, only asking that they be returned to the Christian community. Their parents had had enough, and made their way to their Aristavi. This being the 500s, and Georgia being under Sassanid control, the local prince may have been a Zoroastrian. Upon seeing these angry parents, he asked them what was going on, and they told him. He responded that as these were their children, they had the right to do whatever they wanted. The parents talked together silently and came to the prince, asking if he could be so gracious as to come with us, and we will break their skulls open with stones, so that others may not imitate them and become Christians. The prince accepted, and he set off, with the mob of angry parents behind him. The nine children were together in deep prayer, sniveling, their stomachs growling, as the mob made their way into Kola. On their way to the location of their children, they passed by the priest's home and grabbed him. They beat at him, took his property, divided him amongst themselves, and drove him out of Kola. He never returned. Later, they came upon the children and dragged them screaming to the riverside. They had spent the previous night digging a large hole beside the location of their baptism and tossed the children into the holes. The parents demanded that they forego Christ and return to the gods of their ancestors, and they said, "No, we are Christians, and we will perish and be killed for him in whom we have been baptized." The parents grew furious and cast stones into the hole along with the prince. First Guram, then Adarnase, Bakar, Vache, Barzim, Dachi, Juancher, Ramaz, and finally Parzman had their heads shattered open and they fell upon the ground. Their bodies were covered with large boulders and were buried under dirt. This spot would become their sepulchre and a shrine for their relics. Their feast day is on February 22nd. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. And I can't wait to bring the book review to you next time. Madal Bada Nakvamnis, and thank you for listening to The History of Sakharovello, Georgia. See you next time.
Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East. The very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history, and basically started Persian history. After all, You don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conqueror's Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.